Daniel says, not to the government, he's talking about the council to B'nai Yisrael, and deliver the message that the Nachash Baruch will appear to him to lead them out of Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'hem lo yaminu li." So the Gemara says in Shabbos that Kodesh Baruch Hu rebukes him and says, "No, Klal Yisrael, I'm ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim." So it seems that, at least in an agadic context, that emuna is our self-definition. It's what it means to live authentically as a Jew. But the emphasis is that what Chazal say there is not only true al pi agada. The Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to Parak Chelek, after he lists the Yud Gimel Ikar, so the Rambam writes as follows. He says, "V'chashi yu b'yada odom kol eila ha-yesodos ve'emunasol nechono v'hem hareyu nichnas b'chlau Yisrael v'chayovim lo'ohava v'lochosolo v'chol ma she'tzivan Hashem ala ava la'achva zem zeh." For a person to be considered to have the prerogatives of being treated as a Jew, the whole spectrum of mitzvahs ve'adam ha'chavero, for a person to have the prerogatives of being treated as a Jew, see, he has to have the correct emunah. And if Rachman Letzlan Nisrofech La'odim Yisod Me'eva HaYisodos HaReyonsim En HaKlal, he forfeits the prerogatives of being Jewish. Well, where did Rambam get that from? Where did Rambam get it from that on a certain level, again, in terms of the prerogatives, in terms of the zechuyos, that on a certain level, that emunah is necessary for the person's maintaining the status of Yisrael. So the Chora, I think the Tiferes Yisrael points this out. And the Lashon HaMishnah is very interesting. The Mishnah says, "Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba." So kol, unqualifiedly, right? "Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba." And then the Mishnah, Toch Kedei Dibur, says, "Ve'elu she'ein lahem chelek l'olam haba. Ha'omer ein tfiyas ha'meisim, ve'ein torah min ha'shamayim va'apikoros." So then, what did you mean that Kol Yisrael Yesham Chelagolam Haba? So that's what the Rambam learned shot, that the person who doesn't have the correct emunah, the person who's kofer in one of the Yisodos emunah, so it affects, in terms of the prerogatives, in terms of the zechuyos, it affects the Shem Yisrael. It's another introductory comment before we start talking about the substance of this incredibly important topic. The Rav has a profound perspective here, which is that when we talk about emunah, it's crucial that we understand that we're talking about something which belongs to the realm of halacha, something which has halachic definition, something which has halachic parameters, and all the discussion about whether one paskens halacha and agada, one doesn't pasken halacha and agada, that whole discussion is not relevant. To be a ma'amin is a halachic category. And as such, again, it belongs to the realm of halacha. Where do you see it? Again, the emphasis is we already saw it in that statement of the Rambam. And the Rambam says that if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is kofer, so then Yotze Mechal Yisrael and all the mitzvahs with Adam Chavero don't pertain to him. But it's not the Rambam's Kiddush. You have it in Chazal. Chazal say, there's no Hasharas Aveda, Minim Apikosim, you don't have, but Rambam quotes the Dinim in the Zeel of Aveda, Shkutas Min is Nevela, and there's no Hasharas Aveda to Minim the Apikosim, Minim and Apikosim is Morin Vein Malin. So it's that there are many halachas which are the function of whether a person is a Ma'amin or a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is not. So clearly what we're talking about is, again, is an area of halacha, and as such, it has halachic parameters, it has halachic definition. Okay, let's begin with the topic itself. Yisod ha-yisodos of emunah is belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, it's vitally important to clarify what we mean when we speak of belief in God. So, what does that term mean in traditional Jewish terms? It's a term that many people bandy about, and many people profess to believe in God, but different people mean different things by that phrase when they say it. So let's try to understand what our conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what we mean when we say that we're ma'aminim, b'nai ma'aminim, that we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's, again, not necessarily touching on things in the most important sequence. The Rambam, as you know, Mishnah Torah consists of 14 Svarim, hence its name Yad HaChazaka. And the Rambam in the Hagdoma describes, defines what the subject matter of each of the 14 Svarim of the Yad HaChazaka is. So the Rambam says, Sefer Rishon is Echol Bo Kol HaMitzvah Shehen Iker Das Moshe Rabbeinu. In the first of the 14 Svarim, I'm going to include those mitzvahs which are the mainstay, the foundation of the religion that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and taught us. V'tzav Adam Leida Olson Tchilas HaKol K'gon Yichud Shemo Baruch Hu V'Isra Avodazar. So Sefer Hamada deals with Ikari Hadas. Why is Hilchos Deus in Sefer Hamada? That question can and should fruitfully be raised not only with regard to Hilchos Deus, it should be. So Hilchos Yisrael Deyatorah, we know why that's there. Sefer Mad is about Ikarei Das. Hilchos Avodah Zarah, we know why that's there also. Why is Hilchos Deus there? Hilchos Deus, don't look to make too much money, but on the other hand, don't be so disinterested in money that you can't even pay the rent, or you can't even pay the grocery bill. Okay, those are taki important things to know, but how does it belong in Sefer Mad? When the Rambam describes Avraham Avinu's search, Avraham Avinu looked out into the world and was searching. Ultimately, after 37 years of relentless searching, exploring, ultimately, Libo Meshote to Maven, Ad Shehisik Derech HaEmes, the haven kav hatzadek bidai to hanachona. So when the Rambam describes Avraham Avinu's discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam says he not only discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he discerns a kav hatzadek. And that's further reinforced later in this halacha here in Aleph Gimel Avodah Zarah. When the Rambam describes how Avraham Avinu then passes the torch to Yitzchak to Yaakov, and Yaakov to all his sons, but especially Hivdil Levi Uminohu Rosh, Vahoshivu Bi Yeshiva Lalame Dar Hashem Velishmo Mitzvah Savran. So Avraham Avinu didn't just discover monotheistic belief. there was a mitzvah Avraham, there was a moral code which monotheistic belief dictates. And the Rambam says this again, where he really makes mefurish, where he makes explicit what that mitzvah Avraham is, that Avraham Avinu discovered as an integral part of his discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Rambam talks in Parak Aleph of Hilchos Deos about the Deos and Tzoyos, he says that the Fisha Hashemos Ha'elu Shenikru Behen Ha'yotzer Hein Hadarach HaBeninus She'anu Chayovin Ba She'anu Chayovin Olachas Ba Nikru Is Darach Hazar Darach Hashem V'hi Shalimda Avraham Avinu Levonach. So there's a very profound yisod that the Rambam is telling us. Again, speaking in anthropomorphic terms, right? A person can't really describe, define HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but speaking anthropomorphically, what Avraham Avinu discovers when he discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu as someone who's the author of a moral act of Riyas HaOlam. Let's explain what that means. The Rav Zachon Levacha used the Margul of Befumah, he used to explain as follows. A person absolutely cannot understand and therefore absolutely should not speculate as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. We can't understand that. We can't understand that. But we can descriptively say the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect, totally self-sufficient. He has no need for anything, for the world. Creation of the world was an altruistic act. We're not assigning motivation to it. We're not understanding why it happened. We can't. But we can descriptively say HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't and doesn't need the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is self-sufficient. And that's what the pasuk means, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. You know, there are, for the most part, amongst the Umos HaOlam, that admittedly even amongst the Jews, amongst those Shalom Zachu La'Ora Shal Torah, and there are those who come to a belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on science, and their conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is of a great infinite mind. And their belief in a God is totally divorced from any moral implications or moral code. So one of the major yesodos to understand is that for us, when a person discovers the Ribono Shel Olam, so the Ribono Shel Olam, a person can recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu from the world, and he's recognized not just as the, again, speaking anthropomorphically, not just as the as this infinite mind with infinite chokhmah that created the intricate, vast universe, but as a moral being. And for that, and for us, Emuna is inseparable from its moral implications. And it's a contradiction in terms for a person to be ma'amin, but not to subscribe to the moral code which that Emuna dictates. And that's why Hilchos Deos is in Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah. Hilchos Deos is in Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah because in Avraham Avinu's discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was inseparable from his discovery of there's a Ribono Shel Olam who created the world. He created the world Olam Chesed Yibaneh. as a moral, it's a moral act, not only a natural act, but it's a moral act. Not only is there natural laws of physics embedded in the universe, but there are moral laws as well. And you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see the Rachmonis and Chanina, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a maternal instinct, that the mothers take care of the newborns, etc., etc. Belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates morality. That's one element of our emuna, of our conception. The Rishonim, Chazal already, and the Rishonim in their footsteps attach great weight to Seichel and Svar, whether it's in Dinim Daraisa, such as Emotzi Mechaveh Olav Araya, and the Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, which don't need a Pasuk because they're Svar. Whether it's the Gemara in Yuma telling us that Mishpatim, even if they weren't written, so would be binding, because that Afilu Lom Nechtevu, so we know that the Ruyim Lehikra says, whether it's the Gemara in Erevim, that Omale Nitna Torah, even if the Torah hadn't been given, so Hayim Meiden, Gezel Min Omala, and Sneos Mechasul. So all these things that we naturally could figure out. So Chazal attach a lot of weight to Seichel and Svar, and again, and the Rishonim after them as well. The Sadigal, the Chol Salvavos, the Rambam, of course. All the reason Seichel, the reason Svar carries so much weight is because it's God-given. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, A, is a moral being, and B, is the source of morality. Human seichel is only a source of morality because it's given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person's moral intuition is only valid because it's divinely given. And for that reason, obviously, when a person finds his seichel, his intuition, out of sync with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Torah, it's not a shnei ksuvim hamakrishim zeh. It means that the person is not, this isn't part of the intuition that was God-given. Okay. Our conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a pasuk in Hazinu. Again, the Rambam elaborates slightly in the Yud Gimel Likoyim. That's so tam in Paula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. Our belief is in a perfect God, a God who doesn't make mistakes. Hayisod Rishon Mitzias Habor Yishabach Hu Sheyesham Motzui. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. Says also, it's interesting when you look in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. So how did the Rambam sort of decide what he what he includes in Parag Aleph and what's included in Parag Beis. So, in light of what the Rambam says elsewhere, it's clear that what's in Parag Aleph is the baseline for Emunah. The Haino, it's not just for a person to begin to be Ma'amik in Master Merkava, to begin to go beyond the minimum that's necessary. Those things are in Parag Beis. Parag Aleph is what all of us uniformly need to understand about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam says what that means, besides the fact of Yichud Hashem, besides the fact that there's only one Hashem and that He is one, right? There's only one Hashem, but there could be one Hashem, and that one Hashem could be made up of parts. There's one Hashem, and He is one. There's no multiplicity or anything whatsoever in Him. But in addition, the Rambam says it's crucial, critical that we understand the following: A, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incorporeality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. B, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's total and absolute uniqueness and singularity. The reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entirely unique. We have a tendency to sort of think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in superhuman terms. So we're mortal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives forever. We know things, but our knowledge is finite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge is infinite. So we sort of have this tendency that we work off of our own experience, and then we sort of extrapolate from there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes this superhuman being. And what the Rambam stresses time and time again is that everything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely unique. He's, again, holy, this time with a W at the beginning, wholly other and different and unique. So that's what the Rambam tells us, Eina mitosa ka mitos echad mehem. There's no point of resemblance. It's not that we know so much, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so imagine multiplying that by a factor of infinity. And it's not that we're potent, we can do so much, and now imagine multiplying that by a factor of infinity, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. And we live so many years, and now imagine extending that infinitely. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality is entirely different than what the reality of anything and everything else is. A person needs to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incorporeal. A person has to know that there's no point of resemblance between anything and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And third, and maybe this is the most challenging for some, but the Rambam insists that it's something which is universally required. Part of the pasuk in Malachi says, "Ani Hashem lo shanisi." HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unchanging. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have emotions, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have moods, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't happy one day and he isn't sad the next day. Ani Hashem lo shanisi. There's no what in the translation the word the Rambam is using is there's no hipa'aluyos. There's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not. Is not affected. He's not responding to stimuli. There's no change. That's a function of physicality. What does that mean? It's a little bit hard for us to relate to that. But imagine the following. Maybe this is a little bit of a obviously anthropomorphic moshel to help us get a handle on that. Let's say a person has two friends. And as things happen, his two closest friends in the whole world, he's been with them since preschool. And now that they're all middle aged. On the same day, at the same time, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. So one friend is marrying off his first child, and for the other friend is going to be the funeral for the friend's father. Well, it's the same time. It's a Sunday afternoon levaya on the West Coast, and it's a late afternoon wedding on the East Coast. So he can't be in both places. He's gonna have to be in one of the two places. I don't know, so maybe based on the person in Kohala. So he'll go to the Levi. So Levi's based on Abram, and Levi's based on Mishnah. Whatever he'll do. But either way, the point is, he's only going to be in one of the two places. When he interacts with them, he's going to have to change, right? The somber sense of solidarity and empathy that he's going to show his friends, who's an Onan, and then will be an Ovel, is obviously not the way that he can, is not the way that he's going to be mishtatef in the simcha of his friends who's marrying a child. So he's going to have to choose. He'll be in one place, not in the other place. He's going to have to shift. When you think about it, being the same all the time is a chesaron in a person, because a person is limited. So I'm either rejoicing with someone or I'm commiserating with someone. I can't do both simultaneously. If I'm always the same, that's a chesaron. I'm either on the East Coast with one chaver, or I'm on the West Coast with the other chaver. And if I don't go from place to place, if I don't change, that's a chesaron, because it means that I'm only being there for one friend, not for the other friend. The need to change, the need to adapt, the need to shift gears is a response to limitation. But imagine that I could be in both places simultaneously. Imagine that the person could be simultaneously at one friend's chasana, at the other friend's levaya. And imagine that simultaneously he could empathize with the simcha and with the avelis and be mishtatev in the simcha. Imagine he could do that simultaneously. So there would be no need for him to change. And the fact that he doesn't change doesn't imply chesaron. It implies perfection. Maybe just to summarize for today, well, so far, maybe we'll add one more point. Our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu has moral implications, as seen by Avraham Avinu, as reflected in the Rambam's inclusion of Hilchos Deis in Sefer HaMada, which deal with Ikari Hadas. We believe in a Ribon Shel Olam who's totally unique, perfect, incorporeal, and Ani Hashem Rosh HaNisi, and unchanging. Our perspective on our emuna is that our emuna is not only rational, but compellingly so. Whether from the tradition of miracles, or whether based on looking into creation. So our perspective on emunah is that our emunah is not only rational, but compoundingly so. The phrase which you might have heard, that that one of the Umos HaOlam once said that I believe, because it's absurd, is antithetical to our perspective on Emunah. But that notwithstanding, it's very important to realize whether one is in the role of learning or one is in the role of teaching, despite the fact that, again, our belief is compelling, you can't compel a person to believe. A person can't ask to be forced to believe as a Talmud. And as a Rebbe, we have to know that a person cannot force someone else to believe. And the Kasav HaShlishi is as follows. On the one hand, again, the basis for Emunah is compelling. But Me'idach Gisa, you can't force someone to believe. Why is that? Because the Rosh Hashanah created the world that he wants us to have Bechiru Chavshis. And he gave us Bechiru Chavshis to be able to deny the truth also. If we didn't have a capacity to deny truth, so then there would be no Bechiru Chavshis when it comes to Emunah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills that the definition of a person be that a person's a Baal Bechira, which means that if a person's a Baal Bechira, that means he has to be a Baal Bechira even when it comes to truth. He has to be a Baal Bechira to be able to deny truth. That's why we also have a capacity for self-deception. It's part of being a Baal Bechira. A person can always choose not to believe. He doesn't have to make a leap of faith to believe. There's compelling reason to believe, but a person does have to be willing to believe. He does have to be open to it. He does have to be receptive to truth. If a person wants to, so then kol ruchos sheba'olam cannot coerce a person into belief. There's always a cynical pretext that a person can avail himself of not to believe, and that has to be available in order for us to be Baalei Bechira, even in the realm of Emunah. Where's the line? So should we speak in terms of Emunah? Should we speak in terms of Yediya? Which is the correct? We know with conviction and compelling reason, there's a Rav Shalom. We know with conviction and compelling reasons that the Rav Shalom gave us the Torah. One doesn't emunah in the sense of, again, faith, which isn't rooted in knowledge. One doesn't need emunah for that. We know that. By definition, we can't and never will understand everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And that's where a person, based on his yediyah, is called upon to have emunah. Why is it that by definition we can't and never will understand everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu says? Chaim says that even when Mashiach comes, it's not true that in retrospect we'll now understand everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, Darkei HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remain to a degree niskoven and inscrutable. And that's true for two reasons. The simpler of the two to understand is the following. Take the following mashal. You have parents with a 2-year-old child. If the parents will limit themselves for doing for the child what the child can understand and appreciate. So what that means is that they'll be parenting on the level of a two-year-old intelligence. So the two-year-old doesn't understand why he needs shots. The two-year-old doesn't understand why he can't have four cups of ice cream for breakfast every day. And if parents will only do what's intelligible and therefore amenable to the two-year-old, so practically what that means is that instead of parenting according to their mature, developed intelligence, so they'll be abdicating responsibility and they'll be parenting according to the undeveloped, immature understanding of a two-year-old. To imagine that we could ever understand everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does would be to limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to assume that instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu governing and steering the world based on his Chochmah She'en La'erech Ve'en La'keitz, so he should be steering the world based on what we, the Das Kala, can understand, which is ludicrous to think that such a thing should be or would be. There is a second reason, though, also, which cuts even deeper as to why it has to be that there are things that are going to happen in the world that are inscrutable and they in no way shake belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, when the Rambam says Eina mitosa kamitas echad mehen, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality is totally different and totally other and totally unique, so he then repeats the same idea that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what knowledge means for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not the same as what knowledge means for us. Eino yodeya b'deya shehi chutz mimenu kamo she'onu yodin, she'ein onu v'dateinu echad, aval abori hu v'dayto v'chayav echad mikol tzari mikol pinu. So without trying to even translate those words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows in a different sense and in a different way than we know. Which means that the reality that we perceive is not the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu perceives. A totally, totally inadequate mushal is the following. Let's say you have two people. One of them is colorblind, Rahman Aslan, and the other one, the other one's not. The one who's not colorblind, so he's driving. The guy who's colorblind is behind him. The one with the full vision, so he sees the light changes to yellow as he's approaching the intersection. And it's a judgment call whether he should try to get through or whether he should slam on the brakes. He slams on the brakes. The guy behind him goes right into him and starts yelling at him. You should know. What are you doing? What did you stop so abruptly for and so suddenly for no rhyme or reason? The guy in front perceived a different reality than the guy behind him. Because the guy behind him is colorblind, because he doesn't perceive the same reality as the one in front, so he can't understand and therefore can't expect to understand everything that the guy in front of him is going to do. Now, that's a little bit of a very, very inadequate mushal. Maybe we'll stop here for today. The inyanim that we're trying to discuss are so important, and correct understanding and clarity are so important that if anything is unclear, so I would very much appreciate if you come over and please tell me, or you can email, and then after next week I will try to clarify if Chas v'Shalom anything didn't come across the way it was intended. So I very much appreciate the feedback.